All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalm 146 through 150. We're wrapping it up today, our series on Psalms. We've gone through a lot through this series on Psalms. A lot of different pictures, a lot of different hard things to navigate. And if you've been following through on the reading plan, you've gotten exposed to a lot more than we've ever been able to preach through here on Sunday morning. But here we are, the last Sunday in the book of Psalms. If you preached every Psalm one a week, it would take you 3 years to get through Psalms. So hopefully 5 months seems a lot better than a whole 3 years. But there's so much in Psalms that even the Psalms that I've been preaching, I haven't been exposing every little detail that's in there. I don't think that we're ever going to scratch the entire surface and get everything mined out of the Word of God. And in Psalms, there is a ton to be heard in this. So seeing as how this is the last week, I'd like us to start with maybe a review of the entire book of Psalms. So if you guys are able, if you guys are awake enough, I'd like you guys to maybe help me out a little bit. So starting back at the beginning, book one. What is the overarching theme of book one? The rise of David. David being a shepherd boy and then being called to be the king of God's people. It's really about the struggles that he went through in order to go from the sheep fields into a palace. And so we see a lot of conflict, a lot of my enemies want me to fail and all of these things in book one, but it's ultimately a positive uptick in book one, where David is ascending to power. So then book two is what?
The reign of David.
Right, good. The reign of David, David being on the throne in front of God's people, him leading people in righteousness, and all about the fulfillment of the promises that God made to David about being king. And now God has made even more promises because David is king. And that is one of the tying themes in Psalms. So book one, the rise of David. Book two, the reign of David. What is book three about? Right, the decline of David, and specifically David's whole house, not just David, because at the end of book two and the beginning of book three, David's kind of dying as far as the narrative goes in the overarching theme of Psalm, is really the transfer of power to Solomon and then the decline of David's house, and how although David was a really good king, although God had made him several promises, it did not ensure that David and his family would stay together and keep the people of God in righteousness, worshiping God alone. So then book three is the decline of David's house and the decline of Israel, and then we get into book four, which is about captivity, the exile. See, Israel and David's house had declined, and the people had begun worshiping other gods and did not take heed to any of God's warnings or any of the punishments that have happened, and Israel has now fallen into defeat and has been taken away from the land, away from Jerusalem, away from the mountain where God put his temple, and is now drawn into captivity under a pagan king in a pagan land far away from home for 70 years. Now, luckily, that's not the end of Psalms. Luckily, there's a fifth chapter. What's book five about? Okay, so yeah, at the end of book four, we see a resurgence of trusting that God has to do what he promised to do, which was to have a son of David ruling on a throne forever, so there is hope. And book five is really about coming back away from captivity and the fulfillment of some of God's promises and the expectation that God will fulfill all of his promises. And so book five is really about the return from exile and coming back and living in God's presence once again. Now, we know after all of these Psalms that the people of Israel did not succeed in coming back from captivity and staying loyal to God for all that long. But we know that this is not the end of the story either, that there is a promise of God coming and fulfilling that same promise that he made to David thousands of years ago, that someone would come and sit on the throne of David and rule all of creation for all of eternity. And so it is with that hope that we too look forward to God's fulfillment of his promises. So we've been covering book 5 the last couple of weeks. Today I want us to consider Psalms 146 to 150. Each one of these psalms starts with the same word in Hebrew, and it might start with the same three words in our English translation, depending on how your translation has taken that word. That word is Alleluia. It literally means praise the Lord. It's a compound word jammed all together. Hallel means praise. El means the Lord. Hallelujah. All that working together to form that one word. So all five of the last psalms start with hallelujah, a command, a reminder, a statement to praise the Lord. And they all end with the exact same word, praise the Lord. See, we have in here a structure that these five psalms conclude the entirety of psalms by bookending them all in praise the Lord. Now, why would that be the case? Why would it be the case that the person who arranged the psalms in the order that they're in would choose to have all five of these psalms at the end? I believe it is because this is the central purpose, the desired outcome, the application of all of the psalms, is to remind us to praise the Lord. Now, when we talk about praising the Lord, we can have a couple things come to mind. What comes to mind when you hear someone say, "Let's praise the Lord"? Two things come to my mind. One of them is to sing songs. And in psalm, because they're poems and songs and prayers, that is a central theme in that. So I understand why we would naturally connect the two, that praising the Lord means to sing to him. And that's not to say that singing isn't part of praising the Lord, but I don't believe that that is the entirety of what the command is to praise the Lord. If that's what it meant, they could have easily just said, sing to the Lord, which you actually have all throughout Psalms, a command to sing to the Lord. I believe that praising has something more to do with just music. So then the other thing that comes to mind, at least to my mind, when I hear someone say, praise the Lord, it means to just give thanks. We get that a lot, especially in November, praising the Lord, right? Just to be thankful for what God has given to us and what God has done for us. And again, that is a good part of what praising the Lord means, but I don't believe that that is the entirety of what the psalmists mean when they come to the conclusion of all of these psalms. This prayer book for people who were in captivity, who were longing to come home, was just to say, sing songs of thanksgiving to God. And I think that that's so much because this is really the emphasis of all of the psalms in these five psalms, is that we can walk away from an entire thing on psalms and just say, oh, I just need to sing songs to God and be more thankful. Now, that might be the case. You guys might actually need to sing more songs to God, and you might actually need to be more thankful. And if that's the case, please do. But there is something more going on with this hallelujah and to this praise the Lord than just singing and saying thank you. See, I believe that this is really maybe better understood as worship God. Yes, praising the Lord, it has the connotation of talking to him, but I think it also has the connotation of talking about him. See, it's all encompassing, this general statement, praise the Lord. It is the right response to everything that has gone on through Psalms. It is the right response to everything that has gone on in your life, is to praise God. And if we just take that to mean sing, then we have to sing about everything in our lives, turn into one big musical. See, the command, the admonition is to take your entire life and to praise God with it. Everything that you do, everything that you say, every relationship that you have. the jobs that you have, the jobs you don't take, the jobs you do take, use everything you have in your life and use it to praise the Lord, worship God with it, and bring glory to Him and not to yourself. I think also it's funny, and I don't believe it to be a coincidence, that there's five of these Psalms when there are five books of Psalms. I don't want to get into like trying to force something that's not there. So I'm not telling you that the first one, Psalm 146, is the correct hallelujah to go to book one, and that 147 is the hallelujah to go to book two. But I do believe that it is on purpose that there are five songs at the end of Psalms that say praise the Lord, and there are five books that all have distinct themes leading through one big narrative story. And at the end of each one of these chapters, you should be reminded to praise the Lord. Let's start in 146. We'll just read some of these psalms, and I won't make too many comments because a lot of these are themes that we've seen throughout the entirety of Psalms. But Psalm 146, hallelujah, praise the Lord, my soul, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. Do not trust in nobles and man who cannot save. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground. On that day, his plans die. Blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. See, in Psalm 146, this author is saying, praise God, because he is the one who can be trusted. People cannot be depended upon. People do not last forever. People will fail you, but God never does. Because God has been here before us, he made us, and he will be here long after us. He is the one that we can trust in. So let us praise him. Let us live for him. He does things like execute justice. He feeds hungry people. He sets people free. He opens the eyes of the blind. He raises those up who are oppressed. He loves righteousness, and he protects people that are away from their homelands. He helps the fatherless and the widow. He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Zion, your God reigns for all generations. Hallelujah. Psalm 147 is all about praising God because God will restore Jerusalem. Verse 2, the Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. He gathers Israel's exiled people. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and he gives names to all of them. He names all of the stars. The ones that we can't count, he knows all their names. Our Lord is great, vast in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord helps the afflicted, but brings the wicked to the ground. Psalm 148 is a reminder that all of creation belongs to God, and that creation is praising the Lord as well. Verse 2, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, the sun and the moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of Yahweh, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in position forever and ever. He gave an order that will never pass away. It goes through and names different parts of creation and the kings that sit on thrones on earth, and to the people and to everyone who has witnessed the greatness and the vastness of creation, to praise the Lord, to live and worship the Lord. Psalm 149 is a one of reminding us to praise God because of victory. And it talks about the celebration of victory with different types of instruments. And we read Psalm 150 for our scripture reading, talking about praising him in his sanctuary in the temple, praising him in his mighty heavens in the spiritual realm where he lives. Praise him because of his powerful acts. Praise him because of his abundant greatness. Praise him with trumpets, with harps, with lyres, with tambourines, dancing with flute and strings and cymbals. Let everything that breathes, everything that is alive, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're reading probably the King James and the New King James, I think these are translated, "Praise ye the Lord." And I think that is very good to note that this word, hallelujah, is a command. It's not a request. It's not like just like a good option. It's not just a word filler. It's not like, oh, we needed something to fit right here, so let's just throw this in here. No, it is a command. It says, you need to do this. You need to praise the Lord. You need to worship the Lord and live for the Lord. Everything that breathes owes everything to God. If you are alive, you have a great debt to the God of all the earth and all the universe and to the spiritual realms. He has graciously allowed you to be alive today. And that is not just to say you need to say, hey, God, thanks for another day. But that is to say, that means your life has purpose. Your life matters and it means something. You need to figure out what you should do. And Psalm 146 to Psalm 150 tells us exactly what your life is meant to do, is to praise the Lord. Now, we can have times in our lives where it seems really easy to praise the Lord. We see a really big answer to prayer, and we're like, everyone's just like, praise the Lord. It's great. And you should. You really should. We have times where, like, things are going great, and, you know, we don't have any issues, and we're like, praise the Lord, you know, everything's going good. And you should. But if you've noticed anything in covering all five books of Psalms, is that life is not like that all the time. Call it seasons, call it times, call it whatever you want. But life has a rhythm, and that rhythm doesn't stay steady very long. So let us consider what the Psalms teach us in the five books of Psalms about life and why it is that still the answer is always praise God. So let's go back to book one, right? David rising to power. He's just a shepherd kid out in the sheep fields. Someone comes to him and says, God wants you to be king over all of Israel. And so he begins his journey pressing forward. In our lives, we have moments like this. For some of us, maybe we've forgotten them. For some of us, maybe we haven't hit that yet. But there are times where things are a lot of work, but progress is being made. And I don't want you to only think about these examples I'm telling you as far as like your career or how rich you are. Also think about how this applies to your spiritual walk. But there are times where we are going to war. David was a great warrior. He was a shepherd, and then he went and killed Goliath, and then suddenly he gets drafted into the military, and he goes crazy. He fights. He fights for God, and he goes to war. And he's winning all the time. And he's trusting in the promise that God said, I'm going to put you on the throne. So David knows, I can't die until I sit on this throne. We have moments in our lives like that. Some of us experience that more maybe towards the prime of our lives, where we're young, we're full of energy. We just go crazy. Nothing can stand in our way. We go after it. And we might be succeeding. And during that time of your life, if that's what's going on right now, or if you're trying to figure out what I do with the last like 15 years that just happened, if you've been in this time where you've been fighting and succeeding and doing what God has been saying, you know, it's easy for us to say, praise God. Praise God for the successes that he has given you. Praise God for the success over your sin that you've been fighting. Praise God for the success in moving your life towards Christ's likeness. Praise God. Because things, although they might have been hard, have been going forward. Then we get to book two. And David is now king over all of Israel. He successfully reached the point in which God has called him to lead. And again, things are going relatively good. He makes some mistakes here and there. He asks for forgiveness. He trusts in God's mercy.
But overall, he's kind of like where he thinks God wants him. And some of us might have found that place now. Maybe some of us are hoping to find that place sometime soon. But if you found this place where God has called you to be, to do what he's asked you to do, again, not just in your career, not just in your family, but also in your spiritual life, it, again, is very easy for us to say, praise God. You know, you are where you ought to be. You're kind of like at the height of your life. You have, quote unquote, arrived. So praise God. And a lot of us are like, we really hate those first two people. Because I don't feel like that at all. Book 3 and 4 are more of my life. So let's go to book 3. David, after having ascended to power to be where he was supposed to be, has now kind of passed off the scene, and his legacy is now falling apart. His family isn't following after God. His kids are wicked people who are murdering each other. The kingdom is falling apart. People are worshiping other gods. People are now making handshake deals with the nations that David spent his entire life fighting. Maybe some of us are in a time of life like that, where there's a steep decline that we're like, when will this ever stop? Because I'm just falling, tumbling, snowballing all the way down this hill, and there's no seeming way to stop it. Things are getting out of control. And suddenly you get to Psalm 146. If you're in season of like book 3, you get to Psalm 146 through 150, and it says, praise God, and you're like, I don't really have much to praise God for, because my life is a total wreck right now. I've got no handle on anything. I can't convince myself to do what is right. I can't convince anyone around me to do what is right. It's a disaster. But still, Psalms says, praise God, even in those times. Maybe you're experiencing a decline because of your own sin that you need to fight and confess and repent from. But sometimes you're in a season like book 3 of decline that has nothing to do with stuff that you did, but maybe someone else did to you. And yet the command is still, praise God. Praise God even when you're in steep decline, when things are getting out of hand and you're losing a grip on life. Praise God. And then we get to book 4 and it gets even more complicated, right? People are experiencing direct punishment from God for their disobedience, for their disloyalty, for all of the sins of even people before them that maybe they weren't involved in. They're now under punishment from God, and there's only a remnant of hope. You might have hit rock bottom, maybe you finally fell down the rest of the decline, and you're at the bottom. And you're saying, can't get any worse than this. Psalm still tells you the correct response is to praise God. Even in the hard times of life where we've got nothing. Maybe your life, your physical health is completely disintegrated and you're just kind of sitting there. Still, the command is to praise God. And then we get to book 5 and it gets a little bit easier again. It's saying there is hope. Because even if you are in the bottom of the decline and you can't get down any worse, God still has a promise that he has to fulfill. Otherwise, he is not God. And that is that he will come and he will rescue. He will take his people to be with him, to live with him in his sanctuary for all of eternity. And this life will pass away. We will get a new life, one that has an absence of sin and evil. And then when we think about that, and Psalms tells us, praise God, it begins to be a little easier. Psalms 146 to Psalm 150 tells us that if you are part of God's people, the right response to all of life is to praise God. To consider God for who he is. The maker of all of the earth. The one who sits on the throne in heaven, who can see all things all at once, who knows all things and can do anything. Praise him no matter where you're at in your life. Praise God because he is a judge that loves righteousness, who likes to help the oppressed, who have been treated poorly, that have had unrighteousness dealt out to them. He is a judge who loves to do what is right. Praise God because he is a father who loves to forgive. When we have done all that we can do to separate ourselves from him, he delights in forgiving and bringing his children back. See, if you are part of God's family, no matter where you are in life, no matter what the season or what bump you're in the roller coaster, the right response is to praise God. And this is the reason. Should have probably gotten a whiteboard, but the only one I had was small, so I didn't think it would work too good. But you see, book one and book two is like an upward arch, and then, you know, there's a steep decline, it hits the bottom, and there's like a little arc that goes back up, right? That's the rhythm of life. Actually, that's kind of the rhythm of your heart. If you see your heart beat on a scan in the hospital, that's what your heart does. It goes ba-dum, 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 up and down, up and down. And we all know that to be true of life. We wish it weren't. We wish it would like be all the way up at the top and just go straight. But once you flatline, you're dead. So we don't actually want life to be like that. But life goes up and down all of the time. But you know the thing that doesn't? God. God remains the same. He has always been who he is since before the world was commanded to exist. He stays the same throughout all of the Old Testament, into the New Testament, into the future that we have yet to experience. God remains the same. He is stable. He is the one thing we can anchor ourselves to, where we know it will not fall. It will not fail. It will never let us down. But see, if we trust in people, if we trust in money, if we trust in our own physical abilities, if we trust in the abilities of others, if we trust in the country that we live in, if we trust in anything that we can manipulate in our control, we will always be let down by life, because life goes up and down, over and over and over again. However, the command that Psalms gives us is praise God, because God does not change. He remains the same. He is always faithful. He is always true. He always loves us. He always forgives us. He always protects us. He will shelter us. He will rescue us. And he will take us to live with him. And has always been his plan. So no matter what season of life you are in, you are called to praise God. So what does that mean? I think if we've been keeping track of all of these psalms, there's a couple reoccurring themes. It is first to evaluate the situation that we are in. Our life, ourselves, our own hearts. We are called to say, this is where I am. This is the world in which I live in. This is my life. So first we have to take an evaluation. Where are we? What is happening? What is going on here? But then Psalms tells us to not just look here. Psalm tells us to look up, to take a serious look as to what God is doing for us. Who has he been? Because that's who he is, and that's who he will always be. To call to remembrance the things that God has done for us, to call to memory the promises that he has made to us, because God cannot, he will never go back on a promise. He is incapable of breaking his promises to us, and so if he has promised you something, it has to happen. And so if we choose to anchor ourselves on who God is and what he has promised and what he has done in the past, we can then come to him. Again, the third major theme that has come in Psalms is that you can go to God. And you can tell him, this is what my life looks like. I know this is who you are, so I need you to change that. Or help me live in that. See, Psalm says something about, like, I'm tired of living in a world where unrighteous people succeed and righteous people die early. And it says, goes to God and says, I need you to help me understand how to live in a world that works like that. Because that is not the world that I want to be in, but that's the world you have put me in. So we have to take a look at where we are in our life, but then to look up to God and to trust in him to do what is right, to do what is just. See, that very act of looking up is a fulfillment of this command to praise God, to continually gaze on him. As Psalm 27 will put it, gaze on his beauty all the days of your life. No matter what is going on. If you're up, great. If you're down, that's fine. You can praise God no matter where you are in life. And the reality is, this is what we will be doing for all of eternity. Is remembering what God has done for us, remembering the promises that he gave us, the promises that he fulfilled. And we will look to him and say, you are God. And throughout all of history, you have been the same. Life has its ups and downs. But God is always going to be God. And so no matter if you're fighting and upcoming, or if you think you're where you ought to be, or if you're falling away, or if you're at the bottom, or if you're climbing back up, you have the obligation to praise God with every moment you have. Yes, that means having your personal relationship with God where you are talking to him, where you're telling him, thank you for being who you are and what you've done for me. That means coming to him with requests for things that are in our lives that we would like to see him change. But it also means not just an inward thing. We can see the Psalms often as something that's good for our souls, which it very much is. And you can't start using Psalms to help other people if it hasn't really taken effect in your own place first. But there's a secondary thing. When there's to praise God, praise the Lord, we also need to talk about it. There's a theme constantly in David's that says, I will tell of your, whatever, mighty works, your righteousness, your love, in the congregation, amongst your people, I will talk about it. We have to be telling each other about how God has been good to us, even when we're sitting at the bottom of a pit, and we've just gotten cuts and bruises all the way down, we can say, you know, God's good. God remains the same. Although life has taken a sudden turn for the worse, in my opinion, God is still God. And we need to do that for each other, and then from outside of ourselves to go out into every tribe, tongue, and nation and say, God is the Lord of all creation. He's king over you. You need to come to him. We need to praise God for everything that happens in our lives because God has never once changed or failed. So no matter where you find yourselves, if you're happy and you're feeling blessed or if you're feeling neglected, you as God's child can always find a way to praise God, to worship God, to live for him, knowing that in the end, God will always do what he has promised to do. And if you are his child, that means at some point, you will get to live with him forever. So let us do what the Psalms say. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us see God at work in our lives, no matter where we sit or stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the book of Psalms. We thank you for the reminder for us to worship you. Not just with our lips, not just with our music, but with everything that we do here on earth. Knowing that you are the one who gave us the breath that we breathe, the ability to do what is right, to conquer sin, and to conquer the kingdom of darkness. We pray for all of us who are all in different times of our lives, different days, different things going on in our lives, that we will rightly respond by praising you, by holding on to you, because you are the same as you have always been. We pray that that would take place here in this church to give a testimony to one another of your love and your faithfulness, and that this church would become a light in this community, in this state, in this country, to show people who you are, to tell them of your great love and your faithfulness, that we can tell them that you want them to be a part of your family. We look forward to the day where you ultimately fulfill all of your promises and we get to live with you for all of eternity, and we can ask you all the questions that we have about what is going on with the ups and downs in our lives. And we trust you. We depend on you, not us, to bring that about. That we would get to live with you, to gaze on your beauty for all of the days of eternity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.